Hello, everyone. I'm so glad that you joined me today. Hey, I'm going to talk today about something kind of different. I'm going to talk about what happens when somebody dies early. Anyone who has lived any amount of time has known of someone who has died an untimely death. What does that mean? It means someone who's died before they've lived out their years. Someone who has died way too early. And we've all heard of that, and it's something that just is so devastating and so heartbreaking. You know, we hear about it on the news basically every day, people that have died too soon, who have died an untimely death. And, you know, it could be because of gun violence or sickness or natural disasters or accidents or war or famine. All kinds of diseases and stuff, like I said, sickness, you know, we hear about it every day, people that have died way too early. Our oldest granddaughter died when she was 22 years old. We also had a niece that died when she was 37. My mother died when she was 33. My husband's dad died when he was 52. If you've lived very long at all, you will be acquainted with someone who has lost a friend or a family member due to an untimely death. Our response is just shock and grief and sorrow. It's just so heartbreaking, so devastating. And sometimes, sorry, I'm going to get a drink of tea. And sometimes our response is, why did this happen? You know, a lot of times they think, why? Why did this happen? Why did this happen to them? Why did it happen when they were so young? Why did it happen, you know, to my family member? Or why did it happen to that person? They were so good and so sweet. You know, these kinds of questions have bothered humanity all throughout the ages. You know, it's interesting that Jesus was posed with this issue about a group of people that died a violent and untimely death. And Jesus suggested that the people telling him about these deaths were wondering if these people died early because they were so sinful. From the way Jesus answered their question, we would suppose that they thought these deceased people, these people that died, deserved to die. They deserved the death that they got. They deserved to die early. And I think that you'll find Jesus's response very, very, very interesting. So I'm going to read from Luke 13 in the NLT Bible, Luke 13, verse 1. About this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices in the temple. Do you think those Galileans were the worst sinners? Were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee, Jesus asked. Is that why they suffered? So in these verses, a little background on these verses. The people reporting this to Jesus may have just been casually repeating the news, or they might have been trying to draw Jesus into a political argument because Herod was the ruler over the Galileans, not Pilate. They might have been asking if the Galileans got their just punishment or retribution for being so evil. The people who lived in Galilee at that time did have a very, very bad reputation for being extremely evil. According to the ancient historian Josephus, they were continually involved in angry quarrels and inciting people to rebel against the authority of the government. So they were a very, very rowdy bunch, a bunch of people that you wouldn't really want to be around, maybe not be there at nighttime. They were fighting, they were quarreling, they were angry people. We also see from the answer of Jesus, it seems likely that they thought these people deserved it. Thus, the people questioning or telling Jesus about this were passing judgment on the character of the people who were killed by Pilate. From the response of Jesus, it appears that these people were probably very fond of passing judgment on others, and we don't want to be like that, do we? So back to verse 2. Do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee? Jesus asked. Is that why they suffered? So in other words, Jesus was saying, you know, we all kind of acknowledge that the people of Galilee are very bad sinners, but, you know, maybe these people, maybe you're saying that these people that got killed were the worst of the sinners. And I think we'll find Jesus's response in verse 3 just jaw-dropping. Not at all. And you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. So Jesus just flipped the table on these people. Jesus knew their hearts. You know, I think you've seen or heard of the example of, you know, when you're pointing your finger at somebody, you've got three fingers pointing back at yourself. You know, Jesus was saying, don't look at their faults. Look at your own faults, and you need to repent. Jesus is asking them if these particular Galileans were worse than all the other Galileans and thus deserved to die. Why were just these Galileans singled out if all the Galileans are so evil? Jesus tells them it is not right to draw a conclusion on the reason these men died a sudden and violent death. Because they died an untimely death does not suggest or prove it happened because they were wicked. And I think you'll find in the New Testament several places where Jesus' disciples ask if certain people with certain illnesses, why it was, you know, was it because their mother, because of their father, because they sinned? And we find time and time again, Jesus dismisses all that. But as I know, in some Christian circles, this kind of second guessing and drawing conclusions in judgment are very, very common. I attended a church years ago for a while where the pastor was just so very skilled at this. He seemed to always know why something bad happened to a person, you know, and he had some kind of spiritual insight. God always told him, you know, what it was. They had some kind of secret sin, or they didn't tithe, or they didn't give into a certain offering, or they didn't have enough faith, or they had unforgiveness in their heart, they didn't attend church regularly, and on and on and on and on. God would always tell him the reason that calamity or death happened in a certain person's life. You know, a great Bible example of this is in the book of Job. Job suffered great calamities in his family and untimely death. His whole family died an untimely death. And Job's dear and wonderful friends came up with all kinds of reasons that it was Job's fault. Job did this wrong. Job did that wrong. Job did the other thing wrong. Well, Jesus tells us not to do that. And I tell you one thing, you know, if you have someone that has suffered an untimely death of a friend or a family, the most crushing and devastating thing that can happen to that person is having their friends around them, second guessing and wondering, you know, trying to figure out why that person died. It's just not helpful. So Jesus didn't do that. And what Jesus tells us to do is to look at our own heart and make sure that we repented. We are responsible for the state of our own heart, not the judgment of others. Again, in verse 3, Jesus says, and you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. See, these people were thinking about natural things, their natural death, the natural death of these Galileans, and Jesus was talking about spiritual life and spiritual death. Jesus put these people who are asking, you know, reporting this thing, on the same level, on the same plane as very, very evil Galileans. And that's the way we all are before we repent and put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Sinners are sinners. You know, if you've committed one sin, you're equal to the worst sinner. The Bible tells us that. And so sin is sin. And this probably didn't sit too well with many of these people. Many of these people probably felt insulted by this statement that Jesus made, this call to repentance, and probably shut Jesus out. But we know from the book of Romans, chapter 3, that we've all sinned. We all need to repent and put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Jesus tried to turn their focus, their thoughts, to eternity and to their eternal destiny. And then as we read on in this scripture, Jesus goes on to say, "And what about the 18 people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No, I tell you again that unless you repent, you will perish too." These are so interesting because in our human mind and reasoning, you know, somewhere we get in there that if something bad happens, you must have done something bad. And Jesus is saying, no, if something bad happens to a person, you know, the first thing you need to do, of course, is act in love and compassion, but you always need to look at yourself. Never judge other people like that. So Jesus here is talking about something else that happened in their day and time. They were evidently building this tower in Siloam. It fell and 18 people were killed, crushed to death. And it wasn't because they were the worst sinners in Jerusalem. It just happened. Jesus here uses this as an example of the fact that some people die an untimely death, and you better repent and get your life right with the Lord before that happens. Because these people, the Galileans, and these people at the tower, they did not know that that was going to be their last breath coming up. So we don't know sometimes when our last moment on this earth is, and we need to repent of our sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ and our Lord and as our Lord and Savior. Jesus wants us to consider eternity. In this, he gave us a great example to always be concerned about the souls of people. Jesus is saying in this that he doesn't want to judge people. He loves people and he's concerned about the souls of people, and he is imploring people to repent. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we heeded the warning of Jesus, if we all repented and put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we would all be ready for an untimely death? The Jews would have been wise to listen to Jesus. The Jews, people that Jesus was probably talking to here, would have been wise to listen to Jesus and all repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and secure their eternal destiny. Because in 70 AD, this is after, you know, a few decades after Jesus has spoken, the Romans conquered Jerusalem, and it's estimated between 600,000 and 1.1 million people died in this attack and the assault, and there was people starving to death. That many people in that situation, a few decades after Jesus spoke these words, died an untimely death. And Jesus wants us to know that this world in which we live is not a world of retribution where evil people are destroyed and good people are immune from troubles. Jesus is saying that's not the way it works. That type of judgment where evil people are punished is reserved for the afterlife. When we die and we receive our reward or punishment, we go to heaven or hell. On this earth, Jesus wants us to know there is time to repent, time to change. Repentance should happen in our lives today. Today, 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 not some vague time in the future. What does repent mean? It means to turn around and go in the opposite direction. In reference to the Lord, it's to turn around from going our own way and following Jesus. It's to turn from a road characterized by rebellion toward God and to a road that's characterized by obedience to the Word of God. True repentance is accompanied by placing our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In Barnes Notes, which is a Bible commentary, it says, "We must repent. We must all repent or we shall perish. No matter what befalls others, we are sinners. We are to die. We shall be lost unless we repent. Let us then think of ourselves rather than of others. And when we hear of any single calamity happening to others, let us remember that there is calamity in another world as well as here, and that while our fellow sinners are exposed to trials here, we may be exposed to more awful woes there. Woe there is eternal. Here, a calamity like that produced by a falling tower is soon over." So we need to think about eternal things more than the natural things. You know, the preaching of repentance is a hallmark of the Christian faith. John the Baptist in Matthew 3 said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Jesus said in Matthew 4, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Peter preached after Jesus had died and was risen from the dead. Peter said, "Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away." Paul preached in Acts 20, "I have declared to both the Jews and the Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." You know, as we've said, people die untimely deaths. You know, I'm trusting God to live out my full life strong and healthy to old age, and I'm not ready to go anytime soon. I trust God for protection at all times. I trust God for my health. I believe that with all my heart, but I every day want to be ready for the time that my life ends on this earth. And I, from the bottom of my heart, I beg you to do the same. Take this very seriously. And when someone does die an untimely death, don't spend your time trying to figure it out. Don't judge or find fault. Like I said before, the next house could fall on you. Look at this as a reminder of the response of Jesus. Repent, turn your life around, put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you've already repented and put your faith in Jesus Christ, encourage others to repent. It is God's strong desire for you to join him in heaven and have eternal life. In John 3:16, in the New Living Translation, it says, "For God so loved the world," "for God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. So I want you to take all this to heart and remember, our life here is just temporary, but our life after we die is eternal. And it's time, if you haven't done it before, don't wait another minute. Don't wait another second. Don't wait another day or a month, because those times aren't guaranteed. Make sure that you repent of your sins now. Turn around and change your focus from serving yourself and your own desires to serving the Lord. And you will be so blessed, and you'll also be blessed at that time of your death, whether it's in old age or whether it's untimely, to have eternal life. Well, I hope you enjoyed this. I just ask you to like it and share it with other people so that other people can hear the good news of the gospel and how wonderful God is and how much he loves them. I also encourage you, if you haven't already, to listen to Pastor Terry's message on political prophecies. It is a election year, and there a lot of times there's a lot of prophecies about the election, and they can really mess people up if they're not correct. And that happened in the last presidential election cycle. There were all kinds of false prophecies, and Pastor Terry just has an excellent message on it to help kind of clear out the good from the bad, and it will really, really help you. It's an excellent message, and the link to that is in the description below. So God bless you, repent, and know that God loves you so much. Bye-bye.